Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 100 Years, 100 Movies, The Revenge. Today, we're going to be talking about the teens, so the last decade. Starting with the year 2010, and we're talking about Winter's Bone, written and directed by Deborah Granik. Winter's Bone is, as far as I can remember, or at least for me, it was the first time I saw Jennifer Lawrence in a movie. And this is quite the movie to start off with. Winter's Bone is a crime drama told from the point of view of a 17-year-old girl, Ree, played by Jennifer Lawrence, whose father has skipped out on bail and who now is facing her family being kicked out of their home because of a bond that you put their property and home down as collateral. And this movie is set in the Ozark Mountains, and it's really about the local crime families and how they kind of the people themselves subjugate themselves because of their code of silence and not really saying anything. Ree's basically like, fuck that shit, like, I need to look after my family, and she is willing to talk. And of course, in making that decision, runs into a lot of problems, and really is saved by her uncle, Teardrop, played by John Hawkes, who I knew primarily from as Saul Starr from in Deadwood. This movie is this just great drama. Like, you could, like, John Hawkes is wonderful in this, and Jennifer Lawrence, like, she just shines. Like, I mean, you could tell right away that she was going to be something from this movie. And, I mean, the last 10 years have kind of shown that. I mean, she's, Jennifer Lawrence has done a lot of different things, everything from, like, X-Men movies to comedies to these other great dramas that she's been in since then. And she's one of the best actresses that we have around. And I think this, as a start, this kind of just showed what she was going to be able to do from the get-go. And this movie is very, very kind of raw as well, just the way that it presents the life of these people in the Ozarks, just trying to survive, and just the day-to-day shit that they have to go through. And on top of that, just how community can hinder as much as help. Because even though Ree is really kind of upsetting the status quo with the questions that she's doing in looking out for her family, and at least her getting her ass kicked by certain people along the way, she's still, they do end up helping her in the end. And this movie is, it pulls no punches. I mean, Ree's dad, like, he's not, even though she's looking for him, he's never presented it as some kind of, in some idealistic way. I mean, they straight up say he was a meth dealer, and that he probably died in a meth accident, and he gets killed for his interaction with the local crime bosses. And as her uncle tells her later on, he was gonna flip on local people, and because of that, he was murdered. So he's not ever presented as anyone to look up to. And really, Jennifer Lawrence's character Ree, like, it's her own strength that puts her through everything. It's her own drive, her own willingness to put herself in danger, to put herself out there in order to keep her family safe, that makes for this great movie. And in a way, like, it's just, I think it's interesting that this movie came out at the same time as the Justified TV show is, which Justified was this great FX series starring Timothy Olyphant, who was also in Deadwood, as the sheriff who gets transferred from Florida after killing a drug dealer in a Justified shooting, and sending him back to his old town, to his old home in Kentucky. A lot of similarities in what is being talked about in that show, in this movie. Although Justified is very much more of an action thing, because it's, one, based on Elmore Leonard. Elmore Leonard loves to put a lot of shootouts in his crime stories. And two, we got Timothy Olyphant, who is basically playing the Sheriff Bullock from Deadwood in modern day in Justified. But in any case, this is just this is a great movie, and if you just kind of want to see, I think a movie that people don't really talk about, especially when discussing Jennifer Lawrence anymore, this is one of her best performances, and it's definitely worth checking out. The other movie that I wanted to talk about, a complete 180 from from when something like Winter's Bone, is the action comedy Scott Pilgrim versus the World, directed by Edgar Wright and based on the graphic novel series from Brian Lee O'Malley. Scott Pilgrim is this great comic wherein we follow Scott Pilgrim and his band, the Sex Bob-ombs, as he tries to win Ramona Flowers, who is the girl that he loves. And he does that by fighting her 7 evil ex-boyfriends. So this is this mashup of like comics, movies, and music, and video games on top of everything else. And this movie literally has like, when he defeats the boyfriends, they turn into coins like you would in a video game. This movie has a bunch of great people in it. Michael Cera plays Scott Pilgrim, and he might actually be the weakest link in the movie. Because there's just something about him, I feel like it wasn't terrible. He was a bit miscast. Like I'm trying to think who would have been a better fit in at that time period. Like they were on the right track and they just kind of missed it a little. But I think that was really the only misstep. I mean, we have Kieran Culkin as his roommate. We have Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Ramona Flowers. We have turns from everybody from Anna Kendrick, Alison Pill, Aubrey Plaza, Jason Lee shows up in this movie. Jason Schwartzman is as one of the evil boyfriends. So is Jason Lee's not in this movie. Chris Evans plays a character that's supposedly based on Jason Lee. That's what I got those mixed up. But we just have like this great like. Just all these great characters and all these great actors in these small roles, like Brie Larson's in this, Mae Whitman, like there's like this is just kind of everybody that was something at the time or that was coming up at the time is in this movie. And we even get like Ellen Wong as Knives Chow, which is like kind of like Scott's other girlfriend. But the movie really revolves around Scott trying to defeat the ex-boyfriends, and each one is like they have different special powers, and some of it is like ridiculous the way that he beats him. Like he beats one of them because he's a vegan and he ends up cheating too many times, so he gets taken away by vegan police. One of them gets beaten in a like a band face off, and this movie is endlessly inventive in the way that it's presented, and it's just a visual delight. It's a lot of fun, kind of just showing the things that the inventiveness of Edgar Wright in doing something. I want to say this is the first thing that he did that he didn't actually write himself, because Edgar Wright, like from his TV days in space, like he would always write his own material in collaboration, usually with Edgar Wright usually writes his own stuff, but this is obviously based on another comic. And the interesting thing about this too is that this movie came out before the comic actually ended, before the last graphic novel came out. And you know, I think that the ending that came up for the movie actually works better than what actually happened in the comic, you know. And this is a really fun movie, and I think unfortunately also a movie that kind of showed at the time the fallacy of kind of putting all your eggs in one basket when it came to San Diego Comic-Con. So for those who don't know, San Diego Comic-Con was I should say before the pandemic, a yearly comic book convention in San Diego, happened every July. And around 2005, it ended up becoming this spot for movies, especially comic book related movies or action movies or anything related to genre, to debut. And this kind of got bigger and bigger, and Scott Pilgrim was a movie that was shown at Comic-Con, and rightfully so, was applauded by everybody to the point where everyone thought this was going to be a massive hit. And then it fucking died. This stumbled hard. It did not make any money. It was a massive flop at the time. And I think it's a movie that has been reevaluated and has become a cult classic, and people have caught it like streaming and on Blu-ray. But at the time, you know, it was a massive flop, and everyone was surprised because it was so beloved by nerds at Comic-Con. And the reality is that this movie is made for specifically, like, this is your preaching to the choir there at Comic-Con with a movie like this. So it really kind of started to chip away at the importance of Comic-Con, which, you know, it's probably a good thing. You can't put all your eggs in one basket when making a movie. And I mean, on the other side, you know, I think it also kind of led to other more non-superhero, like, interesting comics not necessarily being made anymore because of the failure of this movie. But it's a great movie, and you should definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. So next time we'll be continuing with the teens.